We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
Our prayer must not be self-centered. It must arise not only because we feel our own need as a burden we must lay upon God, but also because we are so bound up in love for our fellow men that we feel their need acutely as our own. To make intercession for men is the most powerful and practical way in which we can express our love for them. John Calvin.
Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith, your hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. Before we get started, I just wanted to share a review we got recently on our show. This is by K9509. The title is Love the Challenges! Gave 5 stars and they said, "So glad the podcast is back. You both are gifted and in a natural way of sharing the gospel in relationship to our everyday life. I'm so appreciative of the encouragement and scriptures you share to help us navigate the many seasons of marriage. You guys are a blessing." Additional review: "I simply love listening to you guys. Every episode is refreshing and filled with practical applications to implement in my life. Thank you, Aaron and Jen. Also, Jen is hilarious and makes me laugh throughout the show."
Yes.
Yeah, got it.
Mission accomplished.
If you have left us a star rating and review, we wanted to say thank you so much. They really bless us. Also, we wanted to encourage you, if you haven't left a star rating or review, to take 2 seconds today and just simply tap on that star rating. And if you feel inclined to also leave us a written review, we'd love that. We love reading them and they really bless us, as I said before. And we may even read your review out loud on the show. So take a second today, leave us a star rating and review.
All right, we're back this week. This is part 3 of our 8-part series that we've been working through on talking about prayer and specifically how Jesus teaches us how to pray in Matthew 6.
Just a quick note, I've been getting more messages lately, private messages on different things based off of this series we've been doing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. For some reason, it's striking a chord with people. So.
Cool. Well, we love it and we're excited to be doing this. And one of our biggest goals behind talking about prayer is also in celebration of our book launch, which is coming up in just a few weeks. We are gearing up to launch our newest book, which is 365 Prayers for Marriage. It's called The Marriage Gift, and you can go to themarriagegift.com to check that out or pre-order.
And a special note, if you stay tuned to the end, we'll actually be reading a prayer from the book, prayer number 112. We've been doing this for this series. Usually we pray a unique prayer, but for this series, we've been wanting to show you examples from the book specifically. So stay tuned to the end to hear that prayer.
I've really enjoyed talking about prayer and we've been inspired because of our book, but I just like it.
Yeah,
and
I'm glad. Talking about prayer, sorry to interrupt you. It's just been encouraging me to evaluate my own prayer life. And
always
in how intentional I am and the way I pray and when I pray. And
I feel
so
like
this has been good for me.
Believers are always, experiencing that ebb and flow of spiritual intimacy with the Lord. And I think there's some seasons where you just recognize, oh, I haven't been doing what I normally do, or I'm not doing what I know I should be. And so it's just good reminders all around. Mm-hmm. But I love to hear that people are their interests are piqued in us doing a series like this. So that's cool.
Yeah. So speaking about this being the third episode, the first episode we dealt with how to pray genuinely and not as a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. And again, we're going through Matthew chapter 6 through actually the Lord's Prayer. We haven't got to the Lord's Prayer, but we will today. That's next week. But we're going through right now the first few verses right before the Lord's Prayer about how Jesus is teaching not to pray and not to be like this. And so we're gearing up for it.
So the first one was about not being a hypocrite. The second one, the second episode, we talked about the power of praying in secret.
Yeah.
And just that the Lord will reward you.
And so this episode now is based on verse 7 of the, of Matthew chapter 6. And I'll read that real quick. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him."
So I think for a lot of people, many people, they get hung up on their words or even the length of their prayers when it comes to considering praying.
Yeah, I think that's true.
step forward, you know? Our hope today is just to extinguish any insecurities that anyone listening might have about your words, or encourage you that your words are meaningful to God, especially as we try and answer the question, what should I be praying?
Yeah, we talked to, we just did a podcast recently, and the girl we were talking to was explaining how she felt like she didn't know how to pray well. Like she could write well, she can like, but she didn't feel eloquent in her prayers. Mm-hmm. And we got to encourage her and say, you know, with what we're encouraging today is like, you know, God loves your prayers as they are, the simple ones, the, even when you feel like you don't say them right or have the right words. And so that's kind of what we're talking about today is, and trying to pull from this part of Jesus's encouragement to his disciples and to us is, being meaningful in our prayers and sincere in them.
So, in this first part, Jesus is basically calling them out and saying, don't use empty phrases. Right. And so, I think we should point out what it says in Isaiah 29:13. Sorry, I read that wrong. It says, and the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me. Yeah. I know that's not the whole thing. There's a lot more to it, but I just wanted to pull that out because here you can see that the Lord knows when our mouths and lips and words say one thing, but the posture of our heart and what's inside of our heart is something completely different.
Yeah. Our purposes, our intentions,
they don't match up. Yeah.
He was also, he's pointing out that the Gentiles who were not people of God, that's why he mentions Gentiles, because there's the Jews who are God's people. And then there's the Gentiles, which is everyone else. He's saying the Gentiles think that they're going to draw near to God or get close to God or get his attention or be heard because they say so many things or because they design their prayers in a specific way. They think that they're going to somehow convince God to listen to them. And he's saying, that's not how God hears us. That's not how God listens. And the verse you just read, he's showing, he's like, he's not looking for just the words of our mouths to be a certain way. He's not looking for us to say the right order of things or say the right words. You know, he's looking for our hearts.
When it said, when I read the part, while their hearts are far from me, I was also thinking how sometimes our words when we're praying can line up or align with things of God and the will of God and sound mature, spiritually mature.
Yeah.
But when our hearts are far from him, it's like every other choice that we make throughout the day doesn't reveal that same thing.
Yeah. So we could say all the right things. Someone can hear us and be like, wow, that was a really great prayer, but our hearts not be right.
we talk a lot about the correlation between having intimacy with God, like spiritual intimacy and intimacy in marriage. And I know that probably everyone can attest to this when you're in a relationship. There are moments that we do this where there's lip service, where we say one thing because we know that thing matters to our spouse and we want our spouse to hear it come from us. But every other choice that we're actually doing, every action does not line up.
Yeah. Or our hearts don't line up.
Yeah.
Like what we are feeling and desiring in our hearts. Have you ever responded to your spouse? You know, all our listeners, have you responded in a moment where maybe you didn't really feel like saying it or didn't believe it, but it said, I love you too.
Right.
Like there's moments that you don't feel like it.
Or you're
like, yeah,
me,
sure. I love you. Yeah.
For me, it's I forgive you, because there's been times when I know I should say it. Like you apologize. And I know I need to say, I forgive you.
This is the right thing to do. But I'm supposed to do this.
Later on in the day, I realize I don't actually forgive him. Or you call me out on it because how I'm acting reveals it. And you're like, I thought you forgave me. I'm like, no, I just said it.
It's almost like, it's almost better that you didn't say nothing until you actually do mean it. Just like we can sense, like within our relationship, we can sense true intimacy is off in our relationship.
Of course God can tell.
Yeah.
When we're praying and it doesn't line up. Yeah.
Who do we think we're kidding when we try and like, are we trying to go before God and like, trick him into hearing us? This is what he's talking about. Like the Gentiles were trying to in some way force something from God or manipulate something from God or like, hey, look what we're saying. We're saying all these things. Hear us, hear us, hear us. And God's like, that's not how I listen. I'm listening to my people.
Yeah. And maybe the encouragement for you listening today isn't even that you're doing it intentionally. You're not trying to trick God, but you actually haven't even stopped to evaluate, hey, are the things that I'm praying about matching my action and my heart? Is my heart the same in both ways, you know?
Yeah.
Like maybe it just is time that we stop and evaluate. In asking the question, what should I be praying? It's like, what am I praying? know?
Do we believe the things that we're saying? Do we actually want the things that we're saying? That's another one. Do we actually want Like, cause we could say, I did this for years as a believer when I was dealing with certain things like pornography and lust and those kinds of things, I would ask God to take it from me. I would ask God to change me. I'd ask God to heal that part of me. But in reality, I didn't actually want him to change those things. I just wanted him to take away the guilt that I was feeling. Right. I just wanted him to take away the shame that I was feeling. It wasn't until I truly believed, like, oh, I actually do want this changed in me. Mm-hmm. And then actually believing that he actually already has. There was like a discrepancy in what I was praying and what I believed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, how does it make you feel if I say something that you know I don't believe in our relationship, or you know that I'm not walking in, you know?
Well, it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel true. It doesn't feel like loving. You know, like when you ask questions like, or if I ask you a question like, hey, how are you doing today? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I really want to know, right?
But I don't want to talk about it. So I just say I'm fine.
And I can tell you're not fine. I'm like, clearly, and I've said this before, clearly you're not fine. What's going on?
There have definitely been times where you're like, can you just not say that you're fine and just say, I don't want to talk about it?
Yeah, I'd rather you be honest in that way. Yeah, because it doesn't feel truthful.
Yeah.
Because I can see something and I'm like, hey, I'm, mm-hmm. like something seems off, mm-hmm. but you're saying everything's okay, which is not okay. It doesn't make sense. So if we don't like that, if that doesn't feel good for us, I bet you our listeners are thinking like, yeah, I don't think that feels good at all. Then how do we think God feels about us coming to him in that same way?
Yeah, that's good.
Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today. I believe God would rather hear 5 words from us that are sincere in heart than 1,000 from a heart far from him.
Mm. Okay, so that brings up the length of prayers, not necessarily like whether they're empty phrases or not, but let's go there for a minute, because in preparing for this, I actually timed myself reading the Lord's Prayer, and it only took me about 13 seconds. It was moderately fast-paced, but 13 seconds, that's it. So when Jesus, in his own example in teaching us how to pray, only did a prayer that was like
a short one,
under 20 seconds. I thought that was
interesting. Yeah, of course not that all prayers need to be short, because Jesus, we have prayers in John chapter 17 that are like a chapter or two long, or it's at least a chapter long. Like, that's a long prayer. Mm-hmm. And there's many times that it says he went off to pray alone for a long time, hours, sometimes even like days. And so we're not saying that all prayers should be short, but I think there's probably a lot of people that might feel like prayers can't be short. Like, right. Oh, that wasn't a real good enough prayer.
So there's a comfort in knowing that they can be. And that you shouldn't have to worry about the length at all. And we should also be able to let go of any excuses we have for why we don't have time to pray, because it doesn't take that long. Mm-hmm. Right?
Here's some examples of Jesus praying short prayers. Matthew 11, 25 through 27. It says, at that time, Jesus declared, now here's his prayer. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.
So I wasn't timing that, but I think it's even a little bit longer than the Lord's Prayer.
Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
But it's still a short prayer. He's thanking him for revealing stuff to little children.
Okay, then, here's probably one of the shortest prayers. It's in Luke 23:34. It says, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm. So if anyone knows, this is when he was on the cross. Mm-hmm. This is one of the last things he says before he actually dies, before he gives up the spirit.
Which is interesting if you think about suffering and mm-hmm. how, like,
to say this. Keep going.
Oh, really?
Yeah, keep going.
Because that's not in the notes. I was just thinking, like, Jesus was on the cross and he was suffering, obviously, physically. but he was still offering that heart of worship through prayer to the Lord. So to correlate that to us, especially when we are in a season of suffering, we should absolutely be able to still go to the Lord in prayer. And it's okay that they're brief. And I know you've brought this up before, but just that Jesus is always interceding on our behalf. And what a powerful thing that is when we don't have the words or our prayers are brief. We don't have to be worried that what we need prayer for isn't being covered.
Yeah. I was just excited when you were saying that, because I was thinking that even in the midst of Jesus's greatest suffering and in the moments before he dies, and even because if you were to understand the science behind how he died, he was suffocating. Mm-hmm. He didn't have breath. And so he had very little breath to be able to speak. And he spoke with very little words.
He used it on prayer.
And he used it on prayer.
That's really beautiful.
But how many times do we feel like there's been times in our marriage in strife and conflict and in confusion when I feel like I can't breathe. Yeah. I'm like, I don't have anything to come out of me right now. I don't know what to say. And so the encouragement is we can do the same thing in those moments with very little words, still lift up our hearts to God.
Well, and going back to that quote that we introed with by John Calvin, when he talks about how our prayer shouldn't be self-centered, but that the needs of our other men should be just as acute as our own, that we feel that burden of need to pray for them. And I love that Jesus, when he prayed, he wasn't asking God to comfort him or relieve the pain or make it all go away. He was still praying for others. And I think that's also part of his example of how he walked, and that we can look to that and in our prayers, evaluate them. Are we only ever praying for ourselves and for God to relieve pain and provide comfort? Or because those things aren't wrong to pray for. But if we're following Jesus' example, even when we're experiencing those hard things, we can
how are we
lifting up our spouse or our children or our other fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, or other people who need prayer?
Well, and he was recognizing not just he was mainly recognizing their actual need for forgiveness, exactly what he was doing on the cross. Mm-hmm. And that prayer exemplifies exactly what his mission was and what he was accomplishing, but also recognizing that the burden they were going to feel once they realized what they had done, that these people, these people of God, these Jews, that the moment they would realize, oh my gosh, we've crucified the risen Lord, that we've crucified the Messiah.
I wonder, in proximity to him praying, what ears heard that specific prayer?
Whoever was closest to him, right? Mm-hmm. And actually, at the day of Pentecost, when Peter comes out and prays, you know, the tongues of fire come down and the Holy Spirit's delivered to the disciples. They come out and he comes up preaching and he tells them that they crucified the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And it says that they were cut to the heart. Mm. There in that moment, this is what Jesus was praying for, that the moment they would recognize this. And it says, what must we do to be saved? So he was praying for that moment for them, that the moment they would recognize it, that they would understand that they're forgiven.
So cool. So, and just thinking about going back to this original teaching of Jesus in Matthew 6, and we're talking about not having empty phrases and length of words and things like that. I just want to say, like, how wonderful it is that Jesus releases that weight of feeling or belief that the quality of our words determine like how God answers us, that we can actually persuade him if we use more words or more eloquent words or the right words.
If you have the right phrases,
like he took a ton of pressure off of us in considering what we should be praying for. That our words don't need to be many and they don't need to be convincing or powerful or eloquent. They simply need to be lifted up to God in faith. And, you know, sometimes our words are as few as, Lord, help me. I need you. Yeah. And even still, sometimes they are just, it's being silent before the Lord, being still before him and taking comfort and understanding that he, like the end of that verse that you read, he already knows what we need before we even pray it.
There's many times with the kids that we'll sit down to eat and I just like, maybe I took them out to lunch or something and I just go, thank you, Jesus, for this. And I truly do thank him that we have this food and they're simple and genuine. Me not trying to fake anything. I genuinely am thankful for that. And so speaking of our kids, this whole idea of our prayers makes me think of our relationship with our own children. Mm-hmm.
that we know what they need. I mean, we're with them all the time, especially because they're little still. Like, we don't have kids that are up doing their own thing outside of the home. So we see when they get hurt, or we mm-hmm. see and know most of their needs. We're rarely caught off guard, right?
Really? I mean, again, we're not perfect and we miss things, but for the most part, we know what they need more than they know what they need.
Mm-hmm. And we still want them to come to us and tell us, and we love that interaction with us. But in relating this to our relationship with the Lord, like, how much more he knows even us mm-hmm. adults who live our own life and in our own way have needs. Like, he knows the intricate details of what we're dealing with, and we can trust that.
And on the flip side, like, just, we're talking about us knowing what our kids need, but when our kids, we get so encouraged to hear our kids pray, mm-hmm. like specifically when they talk to God, their words are so simple. Mm-hmm. And most of the time their prayers are short. Because, I mean, they don't have the vocabulary that we have. They mm-hmm. don't have the experience that we have. And, but they believe when they're praying to God that God's hearing them. And, we believe that God loves their prayers just as much as he loves ours. Maybe more sometimes. I always tell my kids that he loves when they come to him. He loves that they talk to him.
I will remind all of us this, that we are God's children, no matter mm-hmm. how old we are.
It's kind of what I was getting at, yeah.
He is our good father.
And that's what next week's going to talk about. But he's our father and we're his children. We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron. And we're not saying that you should only pray with simple words.
Or short prayers.
Or short prayers. I kind of said that in the beginning.
Because there are people that do put a lot of thoughtfulness into every word.
Well, I'd say this, you're much more eloquent than I am. Mm. You have a larger vocabulary and you love certain types of words, but mm-hmm. that's to you a part of the way you present your heart to God. Mm-hmm. So it's like you said earlier, it's, are we presenting our quote unquote words, you know, what we say with faith? Like, is that what we're going right. to God with?
What's the motivation? Yeah. Yeah. So we're saying that they can be long, they can be short, or they can just be still before the Lord. We are saying that whatever words we choose to use to pray and make sure that they're not hollow words or hollow yeah. thank yous, that they're insincere or hopeless or faithless requests.
Which leads me to a question for you, our listeners. Do you think people pray sometimes because they, or don't pray sometimes because they fear it won't happen or God won't answer that prayer?
Interesting.
Like, so we keep prayers.
Yeah.
We're like, God doesn't have that for me. God's not.
I'll say this.
That.
I do this in our relationship where, like, I don't even want to bring that thing up or ask Aaron for this thing because I know he's going to say no. I kind of do that whole answering for you, mm-hmm. which we've talked about in the past. Well, so if I'm doing it with you, I'm probably doing it the Lord.
Well, we avoid, you know, if there's something that we long for, we know people that have had issues in their bodies for a long time and maybe they stop praying. Like, I'm not, you know, God hasn't changed it and he's not going to, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to pray for that anymore. I'm not going to pray for healing in that area anymore. I'm not going to pray for, you know, fertility. I'm not going to pray for mm-hmm. all these things that we are burned out on, bitter for, angry about, and we feel like, oh, God's not answering. So we mm-hmm. kind of just, we withhold those words. Mm-hmm. So now instead of coming to him with those words, we're kind of like hiding them.
Mm-hmm. I would say for a lot of people, it's probably layered. Maybe it's not just fear, but it's also mixed with exhaustion or frustration or bitterness. I don't mm-hmm. know.
Or a lack of trust of God. Mm-hmm. So that I remember when I was younger, and I was desiring to be married, but earlier, like probably 14, 15, 16, when I started thinking about, I'm like, oh, I want to be married one day. Mm-hmm. I was afraid to ask God. I was like, I want, someone who loves you, God, and I want, you know, I want to be married, but I was afraid that he would just give me someone, not to my standards, someone to not what I was looking for in beauty. And
like he wasn't going to pick the right one for you.
I was afraid. Yeah. I was afraid to kind of just trust him and who he was going to bring me. And a lot of that was because of my misconceptions about Christianity and misconceptions about him and misconceptions about
women
and lots of but I was afraid to like trust him with my future wife. So I would kind of pray like, okay, Lord, yeah, I do want that. But like, I didn't know how to ask him in faith because there was a part of me that didn't trust him with my future wife.
So how can, knowing that you have experienced that, how can people pray for something that they maybe are lacking the faith for? Like, how do you still go to God and over that hump of whether it's fear or the unknown?
I think you brought this up last episode or maybe the one before, but one of the most famous prayers is prayed three times by Jesus. And he comes to Jesus and prays for something that he knows is not going to be fulfilled. He knows.
You said he comes to Jesus.
He comes to God. Yeah. Thank you. Jesus
I'm so
comes
confused.
To Jesus.
I'm like, wait.
Jesus comes, he goes before his father and he prays three times for something that he knows is not going to happen. He knows God's not going to answer.
But he prayed anyways.
But he prayed it anyways because in his flesh, what he desired was something opposite of what God wanted.
And what I love about that is it reveals where your heart is at. And I think that's the most important thing is that you're offering up your true self and true heart to God.
And it also reveals our weaknesses at times. It reveals our humanity at times. Now, Jesus also came to God with the expectation of God's will being done. So he was able to share his heart's desire in his flesh, things that he was actually in that moment concerned about and desired, which he knew was opposite of what he wanted. But then at the same time said, but what I want is actually what you want, God. Let this cup pass from me, but your will be done, not mine. And so he prayed what he desired, but then surrendered to God's will. And I think we could do that. I think we can come to God because we have an example specifically from Jesus that there could be something we can pray for. And at the same time have a surrendered, yielded heart to God and say, but whether this happens or not, Lord, I want what you want.
Okay. So going back to that prayer for your future wife, when you're 14, 15, 16, if you can remember, I know it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
At what point did you finally hand it all over and trust God, regardless of what his answer was going to be? Was there a shift in your heart about it?
Yeah. I think by the time I was actually ready for marriage, I had gone through a season not wanting it at all and just wanting to pursue God. And then I was like, okay, Lord, I think I'm ready. At that point, when I was 18, 19, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And that's what I literally had to do. I'm going to trust you and I'm going to pursue in a healthy, biblical, safe way, but all the while letting you have the final say. That was my heart posture.
That's good. So it's important that we do recognize that there's a process when we pray of transformation and that some things that we pray for, there's longevity to, and we don't get answers to right away.
Way down the road.
But also those same things that we can be praying for over a long period of time can change us. Like the way that we're praying, the way that we're trusting God, the way that we are having faith in it. And so to stick with it and to keep pursuing those prayers, don't give up because you haven't got an answer yet and don't give up because you're afraid of what the answer might be. But just slowly pursue God with that thing and be encouraged how he might change you through that process.
I just thought of another example of this, believing God for one thing, but trusting his will for another. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stand up and they're like, you better bow to us. And they said, we're not going to bow. And should you throw us in the fire, God's going to save us from that. And even if he doesn't, We're still not going to bow.
Yeah. Even if
that was them responding to the king, but it was also a prayer. It was like, okay, we're trusting God for this, but even if he doesn't do that, we're still going to trust God.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's good. I actually had my sister-in-law, she encouraged me with that specific story at the beginning of this year in January, because I was going through a little health thing that I was worried about. And I had shot out a text to her when I was like at the doctor's, and she wrote back, even if, in all caps, in one sentence, in one text. And then she shared about Daniel that story. And it was so encouraging to me in that moment. And I feel like throughout the year, there's been a couple of these even if moments between me and the Lord or a friend of mine in the Lord. And it's just been this theme.
Yeah.
Well, get this. We're doing a women's retreat this weekend. And my other friend is kind of hosting it and set it all up and chose the theme months ago. And when asked about it, she goes, I really feel like it should be called Even If. She talks about Daniel. And I was just like, yes, it was so perfect.
That's awesome.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
I love how the Holy Spirit works through people and community in that way, that there's these themes and messages that God wants us to hear. And if we're open to it, which usually happens when we're praying to him and our hearts are like in tune with him, that we pick up on these little treasures, I call them.
But yeah, that's exactly what they are, little treasures.
So anyways, I'm really excited about that, but we can move on. I wanted to share with you guys, when we were writing The Marriage Gift, our new book coming out, we started every prayer with some sort of variation of saying, Dear Lord, thank you for, and then kind of filled in the blank. A lot of them said, thank you for today, because—
Yeah, a lot of them were very generic.
They were generic, but that's because like our heart behind it was like, we know we wanted to start out with a gratitude, something that we were thankful for, and not all of them had to do specifically to that prayer, which if you get the book, you'll see like we tried to make every prayer a different topic in regards to marriage. And so
very few overlap throughout the book,
but it revealed that, that first draft that we did showed that like when you look at it all together, like all 365, there was a lot of repetition because of this very generic opening first line. And our editor was like, hey, I totally get that you guys want to, because these are prompts. So our heart and encouragement to our readers was making
pray
sure
like
that
this.
They're, pray like this, like how Jesus taught, right? And so we wanted that aspect of gratefulness in there, but she just really like encouraged us, maybe pinpointing, like tying it to that specific topic. And I was like, yeah, like, duh, of course. And so there was some rewriting that had to go on there, but I'm so grateful that
it was like weeks.
There was hundreds of prayers that we had to redo, you guys, just being honest here. But we didn't want that repetitive, empty phrase of thank you for today to be like the overall what you walk away from in holding this book. We wanted to show that there is variety in how we share our gratitude to the Lord. And it's such a simple thing, but it really stood out to me when I was thinking about like repetition and kind of how we get in a mode.
Vain repetition.
Well, how we get in a mode sometimes just in having a habit of prayer, which is a good thing, that we start repeating ourselves. Like,
yeah. You know, so the point of this is not necessarily that you can't say thank you for today, because again, we were just talking about how simple it can be, but is it vain repetition? Are you just saying it because it's, oh yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Right.
Thanks, Lord.
Like we don't want anyone to sink into a state of insincerity where it's just like on autopilot, but this is not the same thing as a continuation of like a petition, a request to the Lord that you're like, you mentioned earlier, we were talking about repetition and said something that's on someone's heart that they're praying for. Did you give an example? I don't know if you gave an example. I thought you did, but.
Fertility. Like
fertility.
They want to have a baby and like you keep asking God, I want to have a baby.
Okay.
Give me a baby.
We're not saying that you shouldn't be repeating that over years because it's repetition. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, like you said, vain.
Yeah. Is it
phrases.
Vain repetition?
Yeah.
Are you saying to yourself, you know, as long as I'm just saying this, you know, I'm putting it before God versus no, I'm with desperation praying this to God, or I'm with true thankfulness talking to God.
So it goes back to what is it that's leading your heart? Are you just on autopilot, or are you seeking the Lord for this thing to be fulfilled? And I just wanted to make note of those two differences, especially in light of answering this question, what should I be praying? And then Aaron, like maybe you can speak to this, but should we shift things up when we're praying over years for a specific thing to avoid repetition, like, or I don't know.
I would say I don't think it's necessary to be like, oh, I need to, like, again, if there's this formula, oh, every time you prayed, you gotta use different words so that it doesn't sound like you're repeating yourself. What's more important is what's in the heart, like that verse you read about the hearts being far from God. Mm. When we are bringing our prayers to the Lord, is it just words or is it our heart?
Yeah.
Is it sincerity? Is it faith?
Yeah.
And so the shifting what we pray over the years could be a practice of reevaluating our prayers, mm-hmm. reevaluating That's our good. Heart. And so maybe it's like, God, what am I praying about? Is there something I'm missing that I could be asking you for that I should yeah. be seeking you on? Is there something in this area of my life that I've been praying for mm-hmm. that I'm ignoring your actual answers on? Mm-hmm. So I would say maybe just asking the Lord to reveal if there's something more
yeah.
that you are missing, something that you're not seeing, something you're not hearing.
That's really good. Yeah. It was probably more obvious to me because I had an editor. We had an editor kind of looking over all of our stuff.
Wouldn't that be great if we had an editor right. in our life?
When we're praying, we are not going to have an editor doing that, but we can be our own editors and consider
heart
and evaluate.
Editors. Heart exactly. editors.
Exactly.
Are we checking our hearts before our words come out of our mouths?
I do want to encourage you guys, like when, because we're talking about like repetition, there's a difference between like, let's say you're going to the Lord in a brief way and just saying, God, I just pray for my marriage. Please bless my marriage or mm-hmm. please help my marriage. Okay. There's nothing wrong with those prayers.
As long as it's done with sincerity. Yeah.
But to give you some examples of how we can add variety yep. into these things, Lord, help my spouse resist the enemy. Mm-hmm. Lord, help us not to be jealous of other couples. Lord, help us with our eating habits because we have not been doing so great. This is kind of what we did with the marriage gift. We wanted there to be variety of things that we are praying over and not just. Mm.
By the way, these are actual topics from
yeah.
the book. some more healing from past hurt, having more fun. How many of you listening pray and ask God to give you more fun in your marriage? Mm-hmm. Maybe some of you, but like that's something that like maybe you're in a hard season. You're like tired all the time mm-hmm. or you're beat down from life. And yeah. like, it's good to ask God, I want some more fun. I want some more excitement. Another one is addiction or money management or just rest. And in the book, we have 356 more topics like that, but that's a good, that's something that we desired to show is look at all the areas that you can be lifting up to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Look at all the areas that you can have a sincere, genuine, prayer over. Mm-hmm.
We know and recognize that answering this question, what should I be praying, and knowing what to pray is something that many people ask themselves. And maybe it's not a constant thing. Maybe it's just, you know, you're in a season where you're like, I don't even know yeah. what to be praying for right now. Even I would say prayer warriors who are strong prayers probably have wondered at times. Maybe not. I don't know.
I just got to think everyone. Maybe not, but maybe not. I often ask. I'll sit down with like my journal and be like, okay, Lord, what am I... help me pray. Cause yeah. the two things come to my mind and I'm like, there's so many other things that I probably should, so many people in my life
okay.
that I should be praying for.
So regardless of where you're at currently, we wanted to encourage you guys on some actual practical, like what should you be praying? And so, we just wanted to kind of go through a few of these. Some of them have verses along with them. So you want to start?
Yeah. So you can just thank God for something. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So thanking God is a heart posture that he desires from us. Mm-hmm. Is we are thankful. So when we pray to him, we thank him for stuff, for everything.
That's good. You can tell God about how you feel in the current state of how you feel about something or just mm-hmm. in life in general, maybe how you feel about your marriage. You can pray for your spouse. We already talked about this, but in a very specific area of their life that maybe they're struggling with.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they need some encouragement, or maybe you want to pray for their spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. You could be praying specifically over specific areas.
You can pray for your children.
Mm, that's a big one. Pray for yourself as a parent. Mm-hmm. pray for someone, you know, who's in need. Ask God to show you how you can help them. Ask God to show up for them in their hour of need.
Yeah. Going back to that quote again by John Calvin, he says, because we are so bound up in love for our fellow men that we feel their need as acutely as our own. Mm-hmm. Let that sink in.
Taking that verse, bearing each other's burdens.
Mm-hmm. Like, we must be willing
much
to pray
deeper
for
level,
others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one is pray salvation for someone you know who does not have a relationship with the Lord. And then another one, ask God to help you understand and accept his love for you.
That's a big one. Cause I know that at various times we struggle with how can God love me? Mm-hmm. And so asking him, God, teach me how you love me. help me receive it. You can pray and ask God for more wisdom regarding current situations. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. And then the last one we have here is pray for your church pastors and elders who are spreading the gospel. Paul recommends this in Colossians 4:3. It probably doesn't recommend it. This is like he tells us, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison. Paul's saying, pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for all those who are spreading the gospel and are teaching from the word.
Well, that's our brief list of what you should be praying, that you can be praying for today. Our heart is just to encourage you guys to get your minds wrapped around what are you praying for and what's your heart posture behind it. And specifically, and hopefully, praying for others. That's a huge part of our Christian walk, is praying for others. Just like we talked about Jesus on the cross with his last suffering breath.
Prayed for us.
Yeah. Prayed for others.
Awesome. Why don't you read prayer number 112? What's the title of it?
Submitting to God's Will. And the verse that goes along with it is Ephesians 5:17. It says, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Dear Lord, thank you for your word, which affirms the truth that you desire us to do your will. Although our flesh often opposes your will, making it challenging to follow you, we strive to surrender those desires and walk in a way that pleases you. Sometimes we desire to submit to you and serve you as a couple, but one or both of us choose to be foolish and disobey you. Lord, help us not to be judgmental of each other, but rather to gently and earnestly admonish each other to turn toward you. We ask you to fill us with patience as we seek to follow your ways. We humble ourselves and ask you to align our hearts with yours. Reveal your will so that we may act in confidence and bend our thoughts, our motives, and our actions to conform to your will so that we can fulfill the purpose you have for us. We desire others to see the reverence we have for you and for them to be close to you. May our marriage stand as a good example of how submitting to you blesses the marriage relationship. Please help us to continue on the path you have for us without growing weary or giving up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.